I mean, Brian and I talked throughout the whole year. Obviously it's been disappointing, but we were optimistic and hopeful that, you know, we would be able to make a run and make it into the playoffs. And Brian, I don't know if you wanted to respond to...
You know, I've felt since I've been here, you know, I have a very good relationship with a lot of our veteran players and stuff. And certainly we're in constant communication about how our locker room is and kind of and where that is at. So from that point, obviously we're not going to consult any of our players on the search and have them a part of it. But at the same time, I think we have a very good feel for our locker room.
They have a very good feel for the locker room. Hopefully the next head coach does as well. Welcome back to the program. I'm Bill Michaels. We are glad you're on board today. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. And at Cousin Subs, if you have a big party coming up, maybe you're getting ready for the big game like we are. Now, Mike Clemens, myself, Sherry, Erica, we're all heading down to Atlanta, Georgia. We're getting ready to head down there. But if you're going to have a Super Bowl party, you may want to call Cousin Subs. Just go to CousinSubs.com and see all the options they have for the box subs. They got the big 2-foot party sub. They've got all the fixings, salads and soups and cookies and chips, and you name it, they've got it. Just call Cousin Subs and make your party one of the best. And they've got a variety of things that you can choose from as well. So make sure it's a Cousin Subs kind of day, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The aforementioned Mike Clemens, our NFL insider, our green and gold insider, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Michael.
So Mike McCarthy's not going to get hired by anybody?
How about that, huh? Right now being shut out. It looks like Ketchens is going to be the guy in Cleveland. Bruce Arians going to Tampa Bay. There's a lot of stuff going on right
now.
Yeah. Maybe Mike doesn't want to coach. Maybe he, you know, right now wants to take a year off. Who knows?
Well, and it looks like Dorsey's leaning towards Freddie Kitchens,
yep.
Who, when Hugh Jackson gets fired, he goes from running backs coach to offensive coordinator. Greg Williams takes over as interim coach. You know, the team turns around. They look productive. Greg interviewed for the job as well, but right now the word is, they're leaning towards just staying in house, Freddie Kitchens, Greg, if he wants to stick around. And, wow. I mean, because that thing, you think about when Mike Sherman got let go, and he was up for a job with the Bills, and they took somebody else, and then he was an assistant for Gary Kubiak with the Texans for a couple of years. I remember seeing him at the Combine that year. So 2-3 years as an assistant for the Texans and offensive coordinator. And they left to the Texas A&M job. And a little bit of time with the Dolphins, I think, when Philbin was there. Wow, that's amazing. Hmm. Does that say that people, you know, how much they want one of these younger coaches like the Packers got?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got guys like Trent Dilfer, the former quarterback and TV analyst, putting out tweets and saying, LaFleur's a great hire. He's, you know, he's got great skill when it comes to offense. And the difference is he'll be a grinder where McCarthy wasn't anymore.
Right. Well, he basically said he's McCarthy before McCarthy got comfortable. I think it's kind of how he put it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, on one hand, it's good because McCarthy came in here with that enthusiasm, that tough mentality, the guy that was going to basically kind of, you know, here's what we're going to do it and here's how you're going to do it and I'm going to coach you to do it, that kind of guy.
Yeah, well, you know, and there is such a thing as burnout. I mean, there really is.
Mm-hmm.
But I still find that amazing because, you know, we thought 4 weeks ago, oh, geez, there's going to be teams lining up to get Mike McCarthy.
Right.
Wow.
Apparently not.
So we talked about Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy going to talk to Josh McDaniels. By the way, McDaniels taking his name now off.
Kind of took his ball and went home, didn't he?
Yeah, well, and I guess he was only willing to listen to the Browns or the Packers. He interviewed with the Browns a couple of years ago, and the Packers talked to him. But obviously, he did not have the fire in the belly to convince them, hey, I'm going to leave the Patriots now. Forget about waiting for Belichick to move on. I'll leave now. Robert Kraft's son, I heard, is about to be taking over. So that sort of changes the dynamic in New England. I don't know if that's in his favor or not.
Mm-hmm.
But him, and then on yesterday's show, we talked about Adam Gase. And I'm glad they didn't get him because as experienced as he's been, getting picked up by Nick Saban when he was like 21 years old at Michigan State, Saban taking him at LSU, Steve Mariucci hiring him as a scout with the Lions. And John Fox, and he was there, part of the offensive staff, when Peyton Manning puts up 55 touchdowns, but in his 3 years with the Dolphins, he got power hungry, won more control over personnel, started arguing with the owner, Stephen Ross. And then we played that clip late yesterday where he totally mishandled when one of his players walks off because he didn't like they were platooning safeties. He starts, you know, bickering with the media about it. That's not Packer people. That's not the kind of guy that Mark and Brian envision in leading. And this Matt LaFleur, everything you hear from him, sounds like the exact kind of profile that I thought they were going to go with. You know, one of these younger guys in their late 30s, early 40s, and he's had all this experience around the league. When Matt Ryan had his MVP season, Dan Quinn, the head coach down there, Kyle Shanahan, time with Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak. I mean, Matt LaFleur's worked with a lot of quality guys the last 10 years in the league. He tried to go for that Titans head coaching job a year ago at this time. Mike Vrabel, the former linebacker, got the job, but the Titans were so impressed they offered him offensive coordinator, and you get to call the plays. So even though Sean McVay, you know, you knew that he was on a path, you know, that good things were going to happen. They turned Jared Goff around last season. This LaFleur guy wants to be a head coach. He wants to get in there. So he moved to Nashville and called the plays for this past year. They had some setbacks. Mariota had nerve damage, and Delanie Walker, you know, was injured. Not that much productivity, but I've been watching the highlights, and this is the stuff that they want. They pre-snap, they've got some motion, and maybe they'll have plays with two or three fakes in them, like Matt Nagy's had with Trubisky and down in the Bears, or you see with the Chiefs. But he also says he believes very strongly in the run game. But he was also asked just his overall philosophy about a passing attack.
The first thing that we're always going to be very conscious of is how we can protect the quarterback. That is the foundation. That's everything's going to start with that in mind. So it's extremely difficult to dink and dunk all the way down the field. The defenses are just too good. I think if you look at statistically the teams that are getting the chunk plays, the explosives are the teams that are going to produce more yards, more points. And ultimately, the yards really don't matter. It's about points. You know, I've been fortunate in my career, I think, to be around some really good play callers, starting with Gary Kubiak, and then going with Kyle Shanahan, and then Sean McVay. And that was always at the forefront of our mind, is how can we create explosive plays?
I went through a bunch of his press conferences, and really, you know, really calm, controlled demeanor with the reporters. And I'm sure that that's the way he's going to be around players. I'd like to see what he's like on a practice field in terms of getting hustle out of guys. But I think he's a good pick. I think he's a good hire. And I think he's just the kind of fit that they were looking for.
Do you the biggest question then becomes, can he get along with Aaron Rodgers? And I said that is a big question. But to me, it's also about what kind of players you put around him. Mike Pettine in that defense, because it looks like he's ready to keep some of the guys that are currently on this staff. I saw Mike Pettine more likely with some of the other coaches. I had saw last night that Joe Philbin's name was being kicked around. Haven't seen it a lot today. Do you think they would retain Joe Philbin?
There was a really good question asked during the four-week interim period that Joe Philbin had the steering wheel in his hands. And Tom Silverstein tried to ask him a couple of times, you know, come on, Joe, you're interim. You've been a head coach. Maybe you get the job, maybe you don't. And this has been such a disappointing season. Why don't you guys have a little fun? You know, have some fun at practice. Heck, have some fun during the games, you know, a little razzle-dazzle. And Joe Philbin came right back with, this is the Green Bay Packers, and we're going to work on fundamentals. We're going to work on getting to meetings on time and accomplishing what we do in our meetings and then blocking and tackling and all that. And we don't really need to have razzle-dazzle. We're the Green Bay Packers. We execute. Like harken back to the power sweep from Vince Lombardi. And Joe said that a couple of times. Aaron Rodgers, though, when we were trying to ask him, like, why aren't you taking these short passes? And he said, look, the objective of the team last spring was we're going to try and do a better job at having explosive gains. And that's why they brought in these weapons with these rookie receivers that are 6'4", 6'5", and can run a 4-4, you know, down the sideline. But that just wasn't working because, A, he didn't have the pass protection, and, B, he waited and waited and waited before the play was perfect for him. So it's kind of a conflict that way. My guess is that Philbin's not going to be back. I would think that this has to signal a whole new, fresh approach at offense. And maybe there's one of these guys that Matt LaFleur brings along, like this Zach Taylor, who, by all irony, is the son-in-law to Mike Sherman. That guy's been the quarterback coach, worked out there with McVay and along with LaFleur with the Rams. Maybe this is, and he's trying to get a job, maybe considered head coach. This could be an opportunity for him. I'm trying to figure out other guys along the way, whether it was with the Falcons and Kyle Shanahan's group or you know, another teams where Matt LaFleur has been, maybe even somebody from the Titans that he would bring along for his own offensive staff. But I imagine he's going to have to change two or three guys on the offensive side of the ball.
I'm really looking forward to getting to Super Bowl and listening to all the coaches and talking to all the people that have had a touch at some point or another with Matt LaFleur and what they think of this Green Bay Packers team. Before I let you go, Mike, just look, on paper it looks good to me, and everything I've heard has been fantastic. We're going to hear from Dan Orlovsky, the former NFL quarterback and ESPN analyst. He's going to be up next. But give me just gut reaction when you heard LaFleur is the guy.
I think that they got out there and thought, oh, my gosh, the cupboard's a little more bare than we thought. We better snatch this guy now. After one interview, they didn't bring him into Green Bay. They said, we got to do this now because there's not 5 years play calling experience or the kinds of experience we're looking for to try and build on what McCarthy did for the last 13 years. But I think this young man's got a lot of potential. I really like him a lot.
All right, buddy, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
See you, pal. There you go. Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. They've been getting it done for a long, long time, 80-plus years, as a matter of fact. All you got to do is call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, played under the tutelage of Matt LaFleur, ESPN analyst. You're going to hear that conversation coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let's roll. And I want these words to make things right. But it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key. One night, one more time. Thanks for the memories. Even though they weren't too big. Even if it tastes like you.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. Hey, we are going to be heading down to Atlanta. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting here right now booking the rental car for when we head down to Atlanta, Georgia for the NFL's biggest game. We're going to get a lot of insight into the Green Bay Packers, a lot of insight into the new coaching hires. It is going to be one of the talks of the town, other than the big game, obviously, but we always bring you the local perspective when it comes to the Green Bay Packers and what Super Bowl means. We're going there. Compliments of a lot of great people. Our friends at San Giorgio, the home of the only authentic Napoletana pizzeria in the state of Wisconsin. There's only 60-something of them across the country. We have one right here in our own backyard. Stop in and see Gino and go down and order the Bill Michaels or the San Giorgio pizza. All the food down there is fantastic. It's Old World 3rd Street, right there near Kilbourne, right next to the Calderon Club. Stop into either, as a matter of fact. They're great. When you're down there, they pair up that pizza with our good friends over there at Cider Boys and Point Brewing. Go to pointbeer.com for more information on Cider Boys. But Cider Boys, great cider. Great cider. They pair it up down there. If you haven't tried it already, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Also, our friends at Stenny's, best sports bar, hands down, in Milwaukee. Stop in and say hi to everybody down there, Laura Jean and Ryan and JoJo and everybody that hangs out down there. Tell them we said hi, and make sure you order the Bill Michaels garlic cheese bread. Oh, that stuff is so good. But the best wings you're ever going to stick in your grill, daily specials, and they have won the Bloody Mary contest. I don't know how many years running, but that stuff is like liquid gold. Just inject it right into your veins, and that is Stenny's. Dan Orlovsky, a former NFL quarterback, ESPN analyst, knows Matt LaFleur extremely well. Talked to him a little bit earlier and started out just by talking about just what can you tell us about the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Matt for over a decade now. You know, my first interaction with him was in 09 and 10 down in Houston when he was kind of really starting to cut his teeth in the NFL coaching world. I was relatively younger and he was young as well, and really enjoyed my experience with him then. And then I was with him, stayed in touch over the years, but with him again last year as part of the Rams, and excuse me, 2017 as part of the Rams. And you could see the growth that he made developing as a coach, not only in like X's and O's, but as like a leader, as a communicator, as a teacher. You know, and I said this when the whole coaching search started for the Packers, and everybody was like, oh, let's just go hire an offensive mind and this and that. It was so much more than that for me. And I'm sure you guys talked about it. Like, it was all about who was going to be able to handle the full roster, who was going to be able to handle the leader of the football team that everyone knows is Aaron, and who's got the personality. You got to be a little bit edgy to go do that. And that's the biggest thing for me with Matt is he's a little different. He's cut from a little bit of different cloth. He's had some incredible training when it comes to coaching under Brian Kelly and Gary Kubiak and Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. He's had a plethora of it. And his greatest quality, two things. He will coach the absolute heck out of Aaron every single day. Like, he will coach the littlest things out of Aaron, and he will not back down. And Aaron's got that personality where he wants that out of you. He wants to know that you're not scared of him in a way. He wants to know that you're confident of what you've got in a way. And I think those are going to be really good marriages.
When you talk about the respect, and I always hear that, I think there's when you walk through the door, you always have an inherent amount of respect. But what then takes him above to where a guy about his age is going to go, okay, I'm going to sit in a classroom and I'm going to pay attention to what this guy has to say?
Can you help me? Can you help me and can you make me better? This is the bottom line. And I know people have tied the whole Sean McVay, you know, comparison. You know, Matt is not Sean in so many different personality ways. Sean is a little bit more cerebral. Sean is a little bit more up to date with, like, I guess if you want to call it culture, pop culture in a way, where he can fit in that way. Matt is going to have the ability to sit down and watch tape, and you talk about going into the seventh, eighth, and ninth holes of things, like details of stuff that you can sit there and listen him talk to about how you want to dissect this defense or attack this defense, and very quickly you'll go, oh, this guy knows football. This guy knows exactly how we want to do things when it comes to, like, the creative attacking of a defense. That's one of his great strengths, is he's going to be able to go on attack mode and really go after the defense's weaknesses. And so when you look at that as a player, when you hear him talk about football as a player, you go, yeah, okay, I like this guy. He can challenge me. He can help me. And I think the big thing for them is, for Aaron and Matt, is, you know, that Matt is going to, again, I want to reiterate, he comes from the Brian Kelly, Gary Kubiak, Kyle, Mike Shanahan, Sean McVay tree. And when it comes to quarterbacking, their kind of MO is, you have this incredible standard level of perfection. And every day that these guys, I was around Kubes when he did it with Matt Schaub, when he was balling in the NFL. I was around Kyle when we did it. I was around Sean when he did it with Jared Goff and took the leap. The demand for perfection of every single thing that they did was so high, and you fight it a little bit early as a player. You fight it, but then you become engulfed by it because of that demand.
Talking with Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback and ESPN analyst. So when they announce this officially, the question then becomes, what is he going to do as far as offensive coordinator goes? And is he, do you think, going to call the plays, or is he going to pass that off to somebody and just be part of the game plan, putting everything together?
Yeah, that's the fascinating question. You know, there's a couple parts of it that are interesting to me. I mean, I'm happy for him. One of the things with Sean McVay and the Rams is that the Rams realized themselves, all right, let's go get him. We really like him, and people might think he's a year or two away, but let's get him early. And I think this is a very similar situation to that, where it's like, there might be people out there that think that this hire is a year early, but the Packers are being aggressive and going, we see this guy's trajectory, let's get him a year early if necessary. Who's his defensive quarter? Is he going to keep, if he's for sure going to keep Pettine? That'll be interesting to me if that's the decision. A head guy on your staff who's a previous head coach. I would imagine this, that Matt, if Pettine is the DC, that he'll call the plays, because it'll be one of those environments where you can really still focus on the offense and calling plays and your game planning and in-game adjustments and all that stuff, and trust that you've got basically a B version of a head coach running your defense. I'd imagine that this is his first go-around being a head coach. He'll surround himself with really healthy people, and he'll still be the play caller.
The other question is, and I find it interesting because there were some rumors that maybe Joe Philbin might be the guy to remain. Now, Joe Philbin, obviously a holdover from Mike McCarthy, a good friend and a class act, a guy that everybody respected coming from Aaron Rodgers. Is that, in your opinion, a smart move?
Yeah, I think that if you can keep somebody there that, and again, this goes back to personality. Like, the NFL is so much about relationships and personality mesh. If you can keep somebody there that Aaron loves, that Aaron thinks highly of, and really respects that relationship, and he could be the conduit to, you know, Matt and Aaron getting to know each other. This is a high-stress job. This is a high-demand job. If you could keep a guy like Joe Philbin there that's been around a long time, that knows the ins and outs of Aaron and what makes him tick, what makes him go, what makes you got to pull back, I think that's super important, because that is going to be, I believe this hire was made because the relationship, because the personalities more than the X's and O's. And so I if you can keep Philbin there to be that in-between guy on a constant basis, it's only going to expedite the relationship. And when the relationship gets to a point where it's confident in each other and respectful of each other and healthy of each other and challenged by each other, that's when you'll start to see the tangible impact that it can have.
Talking with Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback and ESPN analyst. Here's the next question. How quickly do you think this Packers team can turn it around? Some people, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, the expectation and the window closing, that you got to do it right away. You got to turn this thing around right away and be Super Bowl ready next year. The realistic option might be another couple of drafts, a couple of free agencies, and maybe in 2020. How do you see it?
Well, I mean, you see it every year, though. You see it every year where a team comes out. We're watching, did anyone expect the Bears to be what they were this year, or the Colts were to be where they are, the Texans? You see it every year. And a lot of times in the NFL, it's like, okay, what piece or what coaching change, you know, happened that helped? You're looking at the NFC North and going, okay, can the Bears repeat? You know, what are the Lions? Minnesota's got questions surrounding the organization. So I think that the easy narrative, and I've been somebody who's been very critical of the roster and kind of how it failed Aaron in a way, that the draft has not worked out like everybody has realized. But, you know, if the secondary grows up a little bit because it showed some signs this year, like if they take the next step and grow up and you get this system around Aaron that, you know, one of the things I am going to like about it, and I do think you can help expedite the winning or advance the winning sooner, is because, you know, when Aaron was at his greatest, which is obviously a broad time frame, but when Aaron was at his greatest, I remember it's like the launches downfield to Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and Donald Driver off the big play action. That's going to be a huge part of what they do offensively. Aaron Jones, you can make the case, is the second best, third best offensive weapon that they have. He's going to be a big part of their team moving forward. They're going to run the football. And so you look at it from an outsider perspective, you know, up high from the blimp, and you go, no, this is a 2-3 year project. But then you get your fingers on and go, okay, say we hit a draft, say we get two or three impactful players in the draft and maybe a free agent impactful guy here or there, and Aaron settles in completely to this offense, our young back end plays to takes their next step. There's no reason to say that this team can't be 4, 5, 6 wins better immediately.
There you go. Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback and ESPN analyst, joined us a little bit earlier today on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. We'll wrap it up coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.